Recently, when best-selling author Jan Caron was here with us, I remarked how in the world of fiction, there are authors and there are storytellers, which Jan certainly is the latter. In the world of nonfiction, a writer could be one of two things. It could be a talker or a teacher. You know, my next two guests are among, I think, the most effective of the latter in two, well, slightly different ways. Their current books teach about where we've been, why it's important to know, and how to overcome what's preventing our tomorrow. We'll be joined shortly by Calista Gingrich to talk about her latest history book for children featuring, yes, Alice the Elephant is back, and it's called From Sea to Shining Sea. Before that, we'll talk about the roadblocks to our future and how to overcome them as detailed in the book Breakout, Pioneers of the Future, Prison Guards of the Past, and the Epic Battle That Will Decide America's Fate. To explain this battle is former Speaker of the House, presidential candidate Newt Gingrich. Good morning, Mr. Speaker.
Good morning.
So what was your mission statement when you sat down to write Breakout?
You know, the concept of Breakout is pretty straightforward. Everybody listening to us has experience regularly with automatic teller machines that give them cash all over the world. You can get money virtually anywhere in the world in about 11 seconds. By contrast, the U.S. government takes 277 days to move a veteran's information from the Defense Department to the Veterans Administration. Just take that example. The kind of breakout that is now possible to provide better health, better learning, better jobs, better national security. All these things are possible, and Breakout as a book lays out why the technologies that we now use on a regular basis, our smartphone, our iPad, all the things you're used to, are indicators of the potential to rethink government from the ground up.
And you mentioned, too, as well, and you write about in Breakout, certainly the technology, you know, the Jetsons and Star Trek continue to come into our reality in so many different ways. But in things like education and in medicine, the old guard is so protective of their turf that they're part of the prison guards that are preventing advancements and even just opportunity, fairness, and innovation in areas like education and medicine and treatment.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, I tell people, if we had the current system in 1840, the Stagecoach Association would have hired a lobbyist to pass a bill that told railroads you can't go faster than the speed of a horse because it would be unfair competition. We have to recognize that all around us, in government bureaucracies, in laws, in a whole series of regulations, there are prison guards trying to keep us in the prison of the past. The Veterans Administration is the best example I can think of. It has a larger workforce than the Marine Corps. It is so incompetent that for the 16th time in a row, it has failed its security check for all the information it's keeping electronically and just totally failed. It's for 16 straight times. You look at their inability to, for example, schedule veterans to see doctors. There's a firm called ZocDoc that now does registration online to see a doctor. They handle 5 million reservations a year, with a total staff of 400, they actually offered to rent or lease their technology to the Veterans Administration and were turned down in order to keep all the bureaucrats who are currently failing in their jobs.
It is sad. We're talking with Speaker Newt Gingrich. Breakout, Pioneers of the Future, Prison Guards of the Past, the Epic Battle That Will Decide America's Fate, here on Issues and Ideas. Again, using medicine, and I can point to another instance, too, which is non-technology, but it just shows what over-regulation does. There's a company here in New Jersey, PTC Therapeutics, which created a substance called Alterin. It is a recognized, proven treatment for Duchenne neuromuscular disease, which is one of the most common kind. Here in the States, with all the FDA over-regulation, it is not yet available outside of level 2B stage testing. In the European Union, if you have a need, if you are being threatened by the Duchenne muscular dystrophy, it's yours for the asking. Again, where's the challenge in just seeing the common sense versus the regulations and supposed need for them?
Well, sir, I'm very encouraged because Congressman Fred Upton, who chairs the Energy and Commerce Committee that has supervision over the FDA, is planning very substantial reforms to rethink the Food and Drug Administration. And that is an example of the kind of thing that we really need to be doing. I think there's some places where you can get the drugs for your pets, but you can't get them for you.
Yep.
It just makes no sense at all. It's also true that in the extraordinary new field of regenerative medicine, where we're learning how to grow hearts and livers and kidneys and all sorts of things, The FDA is a major hindrance, both because it is so expensive and time-consuming, and also because most of the bureaucrats got their education before regenerative medicine had been invented, and they literally don't understand what they're regulating.
Wrapping our time with Speaker Newt Gingrich with his book, Breakout, Pioneers of the Future, Prison Guards of the Past, and the Epic Battle that would decide America's fate here on Issues and Ideas, gingrichproductions.com on the web. Now, as far as the people power, I mean, we have within ourselves through the vote, through our voices, the power to, if we see something in government broken, to call for it to be fixed, to take action to fix it. Yet we see time after time after time, people either feel disenchanted, disengaged, or they fall into falsehoods and treat them as facts. Global warming, for example, being one of those ideas, and people follow along with what is reality, the ridiculous. What is it that people need to realize and understand they have within their grasp that they're neglecting right now?
Well, first of all, they live in an information age where they can personally go out and gather an immense amount of information on the internet. They don't have to rely on the liberals at the New York Times or the liberals of CBS News. They can form their own opinion. Second, with institutions like yours, with talk radio, we really have a national conversation underway. And because of that, you had the election results of 2014. And remember, when you look at a place like Maryland or Virginia, nobody thought that Larry Hogan was going to win the governorship of Maryland. He won by 9 points. Nobody thought Ed Gillespie was even going to be competitive. He came within 12,000 votes of defeating a very entrenched, very wealthy senator. Elections do matter. People's involvement does matter. This new Congress is going to be much more reform-oriented. It is going to work very hard to reshape the bureaucracy. I'm delighted that Congressman Jeff Miller has agreed to serve as chairman again of the Veterans Committee. He and his team know how badly the Veterans Administration has to be reformed to be able to really serve our veterans. That's a good case study of what we need to be doing. And I think there are a lot of opportunities ahead for us to have an impact. And I urge every American, you know, young men and women have for over 200 years risked their lives so that you have the right to vote and you have the right to be free. And you, to some extent, you owe them and you owe your children and grandchildren involvement in the process of self-government. And that's part of what the book Breakout is all about, is trying to lay out a roadmap that we can be effective. We can give our kids a dramatically healthier, better, more effective country with better jobs, better take-home pay, and frankly, better quality of life.
And it is indeed a book of empowerment. I am obligated because I've posed the same question real fast to Ben Carson as well as to Rick Santorum. We all know that a book in this election season is a toe-in-the-water type of idea. Are we seeing maybe a possibility somewhere in the thought process of a Gingrich 2016 campaign?
Well, Chris and I have not ruled it out. But on the other hand, sometimes a book is just a book.
Yes. timing is not always everything, I know.
That's right. So, you know, it's a big mountain to climb. We're going to have a lot of very good candidates, and I look forward to a very exciting season. But I do think the ideas that our candidates campaign on matter, and I think that's part of why we won the election of 2014. We had better ideas delivered by better candidates, and they had better organization and enough resources to do it. So it was a remarkable election. It sets the stage. If we listen to the lessons of 2014, I think we can win decisively in 2016.
Well, thank you, Speaker Gingrich. Again, it's Breakout, Pioneers of the Future, Prison Guards of the Past, and the Epic Battle that will decide America's fate. Again, empowerment and teaching as opposed to talking and preaching. And that is a big difference in you as an information consumer. If you wouldn't mind passing your phone over to Mrs. Gingrich, and we'll bring her into the conversation.
Thank you for having us, Chris.
We spoke with Speaker Gingrich with Breakout, and Calista has brought back Ella's the Elephant and From Sea to Shining Sea. And What I love about what you do with the Ellis books is you help us as parents remind our children about the elements of history that even we have forgotten, being, you know, however long we have been out of school. And you've addressed in From Sea to Shining Sea, I think, one of our most overlooked eras of our history.
Well, thank you. From Sea to Shining Sea is the fourth volume in my Ellis the Elephant series. And this is a series that offers a guided tour of American history for 4 to 8 year olds. And in my new book, Ellis the Elephant, who is my time traveler, discovers a growing nation and the great expedition of Lewis and Clark.
And when you think of, you know, just the magnitude of the Louisiana Purchase and, Thomas Jefferson's role in, I mean, he's always and obviously justifiably credited with the founding of the nation, with the Declaration of Independence. But without the Louisiana Purchase and the bargain basement price that we were able to get our hands on, that really doubling the size of our country, that was a monumental moment of history.
It absolutely was. It was probably one of the most important events of the period. It was a historic land deal between the United States and France, in which we acquired over 800,000 square miles of land west of the Mississippi River, and it literally doubled the size of the nation. And so important for our kids to understand how we grew from those 13 original colonies across an entire continent.
And unlike what some people like to reinterpret history as the explorers were pillagers and were the bad guys, it was really, if you look at the story of Sacagawea, the challenges met by Lewis and Clark, it was really settling, in every sense of the word, what was dangerous frontier.
That's right. You know, it was really one of the most important expeditions in the history of our country, a voyage of danger and discovery from St. Louis to the Pacific that ultimately inspired many Americans to go west. It also accomplished several things. It explored and mapped the newly acquired Louisiana Territory and established an American presence in the west before the other British and Europeans could try to claim it. It also made great contributions to science, discovering new plant and animal life, a great deal of which was sent back to President Jefferson, including live animals such as prairie dogs and magpies. Can you imagine those showing up on your desk?
Well, you don't know where I've worked in some cases, but anyway, we're talking with Calista Gingrich, her new Ellis the Elephant book, the fourth in the series, From Sea to Shining Sea, GingrichProductions.com and the web. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I love what you do, too, to help us parents expand on the knowledge and the moments of history you present in From Sea to Shining Sea, because just like with your other three previous books, you have a resource section for families really to sit down and do some history exploration together, either through the web or going to a lot of locations where people think, you know, history is relegated to books and photos and memories. There's a lot of living history that we can still see and touch and be surrounded by.
Absolutely. Parents and teachers really seem to like the resource section in the back of the book. In the back, I offer more detail about each of the historic events we cover, as well as how you can visit these places where history really comes alive. So that's been an added value to the book. But I just want to say the primary reason that I write these books really is so kids understand what makes this country so special. And unfortunately today, many of our students are failing to learn our history, including our founding principles and values, and instead learning revisionist or politically correct history. And as a consequence, really aren't learning the basics about this nation. And as we look at a recent survey, it's really quite sobering. Today, just 20% of fourth graders, 17% of eighth graders, and 12% of 12th graders are actually at grade level proficiency in American history. So we've got some work to do, and we owe it to our kids to give them the tools they need at a very early age so they can begin to appreciate the greatness of this nation.
That is really, I mean, to understand what you have, you have to understand the origins, and that is really one of the major roles of understanding history.
That's absolutely right. You know, when we learn our history, it not only encourages our patriotism, but it teaches us the key lessons about being American and really helps us to better understand who we are.
Now, I would be remiss if we did not pause and give credit, because a story is a great story for children, but when you're trying to bring a message to children, the old axiom is true, a picture is worth 1,000 words, and you have a great illustrator for your book.
Well, thank you. I agree with you totally. I am blessed to work with Susan Arciero, who has really brought Ellis the Elephant to life. And when we started this series 3 years ago, we knew we needed a unique character to capture the attention and interest of young children. And we did consider many types of animals, including bunnies and hippos and giraffes. But in the end, we could not resist this adorable little elephant, Ellis the Elephant.
And indeed, Ellis is back guiding a tour through, I'm repeating myself, but I think it's important to mention that it's one of our most overlooked elements and eras of history that you as a parent can share with your child. And your child can become a history peer guide with other children his or her age. And that's just something that will help change the perception and appreciation of our American history, From Sea to Shining Sea, part of the best-selling Ellis the Elephant series, number 4 in the series by Calista Gingrich. You can find out all of their projects, more information, and obtain these books for your personal library at GingrichProductions.com. Mrs. Gingrich, thank you so much for the way you preserve history, present history, and help us understand history for people of all ages. And you make it a family event, too, which is extra special. Thanks for doing that, for being here this morning.
Thank you, Chris.